We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. And I just want to say to the church here today that Romans 8:28 is such a powerful chapter in the book of Romans. And there certainly is one thing that it establishes, as we heard Marianne share, that there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from God's love. Nothing. And I know that's so hard for us to accept and to understand, because we look at our humanness, we look at our weaknesses, we look at our frailties. But when God sees you as a believer in Jesus Christ, He sees you through the blood of Christ. Jesus laid down His life for you so that you could have victory in this life and the life to come. And the Father said, that is sufficient. Nothing can be added to what Jesus has already done. And so we live a life rejoicing. We live a life in praise. We live a life overcoming the obstacles in this life. We live a life overcoming our past. All because He loves us. So Lord God, we just thank You for this moment of time, when we are reminded again of Your great love for us. And Lord, Your love is not just simply a love of words, but You demonstrated that love by sending Jesus, Yourself, into this world to live and to die, crucified on the cross of Calvary, so that we might receive forgiveness. And then 3 days later, He rose again so that we could have the assurance of eternal life. And then even as we celebrated a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Pentecost. Lord, we remember the day that You released Your Holy Spirit into the world. As Jesus went up, Your Holy Spirit came down to live in every believer, to enable them to live the life that You've called us to. So Lord, we thank You for we thank You for all that You have provided, all that You've given, all that You initiated, so that we could have life and life more abundantly. We thank You in the name of our Lord and our Savior, our King and our Messiah. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may have a seat. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. As we were worshiping, I couldn't help but remember, I'm going to remind you of a scripture in Matthew chapter 16. And it's one of my favorite areas, because it is in Matthew chapter 16 that we receive a clue, we receive a concept, a principle, if you will, that God desires to communicate with us. God desires to speak to us. And He does it in supernatural ways. You see, we're not just human beings having a spiritual experience, but you've heard me say that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And so the reality is that when God speaks to us, He speaks to us by His Spirit, through His Spirit. And in Matthew chapter 16, there's an account, and as I recount it, you'll remember it, I'm sure, where Jesus asked His disciples, you know, who do the people say that I am? And a lot of the people, you know, the disciples that were there said, well, some of them think you're Elijah. Some of them think you're John the Baptist or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. In other words, they came up with all kinds of things. You know, we hear that in the world today. You know, we hear that Jesus is a prophet. We hear that Jesus was a good man. We hear that Jesus was a moral teacher. Listen, He was more than all of those things.
Amen.
But then Jesus asked his disciple a very pointed question, and he specifically said, well, who do you say that I am? In other words, he wasn't interested really, except to set the stage, but he wasn't really interested in what other people thought, but he was interested in what do you think? And you may recall that Peter blurted out. He said, you are the Christ. Now you need to grab a hold of what that means. That word Christ means that he was the one that was spoken of. He was the one that had been prophesied to come. We recognize that what Peter was saying. He basically was saying, you are God. And see, that's something that each one of us in this room, we have to have a revelation of that. He's not just simply a teacher. He's just not simply a good figure. He's simply not someone that we should imitate. He's not someone that we should idolize or call our hero. He is God. Hallelujah. And then Jesus says something very profound. He says, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, you didn't just figure it out. He didn't say, well, you've just completed Foundations 2 or Foundations 3, and now you've got all the understanding that you need. You know, what he was saying is that he received something from heaven, a communication. God released something inside of him that helped him to recognize and see the truth. God was by his Holy Spirit, was illuminating truth in his life. And all of a sudden, Peter said, I don't think he fully realized what he was saying. But the most important thing we can understand is he got it. He got it. We don't just serve a historic figure. We don't serve someone who has a birthday on Christmas on December 25th. But we serve God. And he sent his Holy Spirit to live in us. How incredible is that? And here's the thing is that you and I we have the ability to receive personal revelation from him on a daily basis. See, he desires to reveal himself, and he's given us the means to get it. Now, it's true that we may have to use physical means. We may have to use our eyes to read, or we may have to use our ears to hear. But the point is that the understanding that we need has to be spiritual, not just simply intellectual. The intellectual is an important part, but the point is that when you get it, you get it. When you have a revelation, you know it's true. You may not be able to explain it very well. You may not be able to convince anyone else, but the point is, you know for you, it's true, it's true, it's true. And therefore, I will live my life according to this truth. And so God speaks to us in so many different ways. And you've heard we talk about this over the years, if you've been here that long, that God speaks to us through his word, amen? He speaks to us through the scriptures. You read the scriptures and all of a sudden, you get it. You understand something. It may be just a word, it may be a phrase, but all of a sudden you have a personal, God has allowed you to see something that was hidden that has now been revealed by his Holy Spirit. God speaks to us when we hear something from the scriptures or we read something from the scriptures and we meditate on it throughout the day or throughout the week. Sometimes God will bring a truth to you and as you think about it, as you meditate on it, and you ponder it, as you allow it to be the last thing that you go to sleep with or the first thing that you wake up with, God will begin to reveal things to you. He'll show you things. You see, one of the things that we've been talking about over the last several weeks is that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. In God's word, it says that there are things that are written that you're going to accomplish and that were written even before you were born. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine that? And so there are things, but sometimes we can get so caught up in the destination, and I'm going to invent a word here. We need to remember that God is more interested in the destinator. I don't think that's a real word. In other words, God is more interested in you than in the destination. In order to prepare you for the destination, in order to allow you to grow and to mature and to toss off the shackles and the bonds that have been holding you back and holding you down for so many years and perhaps even most of your life. He wants you to be free. Because his love for you is not because you can do something for him. His love for you is because you are his creation.
Amen.
Oh, come on, you got to get that. And so he can speak to us through his word. We can meditate on his word. Sometimes, even in the preaching of the word, sometimes you'll hear something and you'll say, "Well, Pastor Vic, when you said this," well, sometimes I don't even remember saying things. I get credit for so much. But the point is that God can use personal revelation in any... Listen, God can use personal revelation in the circumstance of your life. As doors open and doors close, as situations take place. But the point is that as he's working these things and giving you personal revelation, you need to understand that his desire, his first foremost desire is you. You are the apple of his eye. You are the pearl of great value. You are what it's all about in a sense. Now, I don't mean it's all about you, that God exists to give you everything that you want. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God has a plan for your life that is unique and special for you. But before you can do the plan, you got to be the man. Ooh, I just came up with a good phrase. Or a woman. Amen. When I use the word man, I'm talking in a genderless sense. God is interested in you, and you know there's another way that God can speak to us. He can speak to us through a testimony. When someone else goes through something, when someone else experiences something, and they share what God has led them through, what God has brought them through. Listen, sometimes there can be such a powerful anointing in that, because it causes us to realize, come on, how many people have ever been here? This has never happened to anybody else, only to me. You know, poor me. You know, nobody else has experienced these kinds of pains. No one else has experienced this kind of tragedy. No one else has experienced this kind of hurt. I've got news for you. We live in a hurting world. Jesus is truly the answer to the world. Truly the answer to the hurt, the pain, and the sorrow, and the sadness. And so he gives us a word in our mouth. He gives us an opportunity to share. And sometimes the testimony isn't for everybody, but sometimes the testimony needs to be heard. Amen? And so I've been talking to Jackie McDowell. And, you know, she shared with me that she had a testimony that she felt the Lord had put on her heart. And that she just wanted to share it with us. Amen? Can we do that? And for those that maybe you're not familiar with this, you know, this is something new or something strange to you. Listen, this is what church is about. Church is not about form and ritual and tradition. Church is about the family of Christ, the body of believers coming together to support and to encourage one another. Last week we had someone, Ray Way, who is going through a difficult time physically in pain, and he came forward, and then church responded by praying for him and standing with him and agreeing with him. Amen? And so we need to realize that there's something very powerful, and the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 12. Yes? We overcome how? But word of our testimony, amen? Is that Revelation 12? Carl is saying, I think so. That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb first, amen? Jesus first. By the word of our testimony, What is the word of our testimony? The word of our testimony is proclaiming what Jesus has done for me. You see, I can only testify of what he's done for me. You can only testify of what he's done for you. I can't give your testimony. You can't give my testimony. Although there are times I wanted that. You know, I remember, you know, I'm sorry, Jackie. I know you're ready, I've got to run this. You know, I used to attend these meetings years and years ago. They were called Full Gospels Businessmen's Dinners or Breakfasts. Long name. And basically what they do, they would bring in a speaker, and the speaker would be like an ex-addict, an alcoholic. These are men, and a wife beater, you know, a child beater, ex-con, you know, every ex you can think of, you know. And they would give their testimony, and then they would account. They would give a testimony. They would testify of how God changed their lives. And then there would be an opportunity for an altar call. You know, and men would stand up and say, yeah, that's me. I'm in that place. I need deliverance. I need to be set free. See, that's the power. That's the power of a testimony. But I remember because my background, I'm not an ex anything. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I hate to admit it, you know, sometimes, you know, I'd like to be thought of as being, you know, bad. You know, yeah. You know that, you know, bad to the bone, you know. And I'm not. I'm embarrassed to say that. And I remember thinking, man, you know, man, if I were an ex-addict, I could have a testimony. I did. I thought those things. You know, if I were an ex-wife beater, more likely I would have been an ex-victim. No. She'd fight back. But you understand what I'm saying? And I began to think, well, it would be great if I had experienced these things so I could have this testimony. And then I could be able to minister people who are going through these things. And then God said to me, you have a testimony. Amen. Your testimony is that you haven't done those things. But you were still lost. You were still blind. You were still going to hell. Amen. Until you came to that place where I said, yeah, I need Jesus in my life. I need a deliverer. I need a rescuer. You see, it's not what I've done. But it's believing in him. Amen? And so I know Jackie's going to share a word with us, or share a testimony. So she's told me she's not a speaker, so she's... Sit down. Okay, you're going to sit down, and I'll be the mic stand. Amen.
Okay, this all started back 30 years ago. And 30 years is a long time, folks. We both know that. We all know that. And I have hit rock bottom for sure. I went through two divorces. It was very hard. At that time, I didn't know Jesus. And the guys I married didn't know Jesus either. They were worldly, and so was I. So I've had enough. So I had a chance to receive God's salvation. And at that point, that's when I walked the walk with my Jesus. He put me on this path. Yes, he did. And there were stepping stones, and I would go 2 steps forward, 10 steps backwards. It was a hard struggle for me. Yes, it was. I have been in a couple relationships, never worked, because they weren't from God at all. So God kept me single all the extra times. I almost got married 10 years ago, and that wouldn't have been good at all because I asked God to shut down the marriage if he wasn't from you, and he wasn't. He was a wolf wearing sheep clothing for sure. That would have been a disaster. So God was kind enough. 3 days before, he shut it right down, and I praised him for it. Yes, I did. because I said, God, if this isn't from you, I don't want it at all. So as my walk continued, times have gotten tougher and tougher. I run across a lot of obstacles, and that was kind of hard, but God got me through it. I overcome all the obstacles. Yes, I did. He's given me many gifts along the way, many, many gifts. I have a grooming parlor. I've been a groomer for 35 years. Here I am, 69 years old, still going. Yes, I am. And so I praise God. Thank you, Jesus. My youth is young. So I said, okay, Lord, I thank you for the gifts you've been giving me. He's given me many gifts, but I don't want to take up too much of the pastor's time. And I am overwhelmed to see the change he's done in my life. And then he's given me a beautiful car last year, brand new. I needed a car. He didn't give me junk. God never gives you junk. Amen. And he made it where he could I could afford to keep up with the small car payments. So now he did give me a gift of dancing in the spirit. That was a beautiful gift over 15 years ago. Yes, he did. I feel like, I mean, I dance. I got compliments from people in the church. One guy comes up to me and says, you dance so beautifully. You should be on Dancing with the Stars. I thought that was a good one. Somebody else, two other people came up, mother and daughter, and says, you know what? You dance so beautifully. We don't feel distracted at all when we watch you because we know it's from God. And they love to watch me flow. Well, this is nobody but God. God took me out of this corner right here, put me in the front of the lights to show you people, to show you what he's doing in my life. I said, Lord, use me as a puppet. I said, pull my string and I'll do my thing. And that's what he's doing. I dedicate all my dances to him. Sometimes I feel like Peter Pan. I want to run, jump right out the window and put my arms out to God. I'll do anything for my God, anything. If he asks me to jump off the bridge, I say, okay, Lord, long as you catch me, I'll do it. So I put my full trust in God. In God, he is my awesome redeemer and strength. I have changed tremendously in all the 30 years of walking with him. Yes, I have. And I was taken out of darkness, put into light. Many times God would say, come on, Jackie, we got to go this way. No, Lord, I don't want to. Your way is the hard way. I want to take the wide road. No, you stay on my narrow road. If you don't, you're going to go through a lot. And boy, did I. Woo! Big time. Why? Because I didn't trust God. I didn't even know him. It took me a long time to trust my Jesus. Yes, it did. Now I trust him completely with all my heart and all my soul. And I love him. I more than love him. I'm madly in love with my Jesus. Yes, I am. Because his promises are yes and amen. Yes and amen. He promised me abundantly things. And some of the promises have come to pass. I got a few more left to go. And the biggest one he's saving for last. He said, Jackie, you are my daughter, he said. And wait, you haven't seen nothing yet. Nothing. The best is for last. You watched. The best is yet to come. Keep pressing in, pressing in. And that's what I'm doing, folks. I am surely pressing into the highest calling because I trust my Jesus. He's my all in all. He's my strength. He's the great I am. And I tell my Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. And I tell you, all you people out there, press in. Press in. It's worth it. It's worth it. Because I'm going to go to the finish line. Yes, I am. And I'm going to win my prize. Yes, I am. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Does she sound excited for Jesus? Amen. We need to catch that enthusiasm. Amen. You know, we need to operate in our own personality. Each one of us is different. Each one of us has a different way of expressing themselves. I was going to say exposing themselves. No, expressing themselves. And I'm sorry. If I offended anyone, I'm sorry about that. But, you know, expressing themselves, you know, because God works within your personality. You are what he created. You know, there's no sense wishing you were like her or you're like him or this, because that isn't what God needed. God needed you just the way you are. You know, you are his personal ambassador. Just the way you are. I remember it took me a while. You know, when I first, you know, came to reach out, I was trying to imitate the guy that was here before me. You know, it does not work. There's nothing more sad than watching someone acting, playing a part. Man, we just, in the words of Frank Sinatra, I got to be me. Amen? You got to be you. You know, again, I'm not promoting Frank Sinatra. I'm just saying, you know, those are some words that he used. But I just want to encourage you that as we advance in the kingdom, and that's what we're doing. We're growing, we're maturing, we're moving into things of the kingdom. It's not about a church mentality, but we have a kingdom mentality. And the kingdom is much larger than simply Hyde Park or this particular area of Hyde Park. As a matter of fact, next week we have a minister coming, Harun Bhatti, and you'll see his picture in the bulletin. He was here last year, and he is a pastor from Pakistan. But I want you to notice something. When you're here next week and you see him, he's a very humble guy. He's a very unassuming guy. He's not very grand and with all of the emotions and things that some pastors have. But the thing is, he is probably, without any question, the most influential pastor in the whole country of Pakistan. So when you get to meet him next week, I want you to realize that he's not just a local pastor in a local church, but he is the most influential, charismatic, Pentecostal pastor in Pakistan. When I was there 2 years ago, he organized a series of conferences, and there were about 2,000 pastors there. He organized that. He's connected to those people. He's the president of the Four Square Church in Pakistan. Four Square, and people have heard of Four Square. It's primarily a West Coast church. Jack Hayford, you're familiar with Jack Hayford. He was the president of that organization. He's the president. I don't think he's the president anymore of King's College there, which is their seminary. So it's a great guy. And you get invited into his house. He's a regular guy. Amen. He's got a regular wife. He's got regular kids. But God is using him in a mighty way. And so if you're feeling regular, I don't even want to go where I'm thinking. But if you're feeling like I'm just a regular guy, listen, God uses regular people. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm being bad this morning. Hallelujah. But we've been talking over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, the distinction that God makes between legalism and grace. Legalism and grace. We are a church that believes that God's grace, and that simply means that God has given us favor, God has initiated. God, salvation is by grace. For by grace we've been saved through faith. And not of ourselves. It's not a work mentality. And that's where we sometimes get confused. We talk about grace and some people think, well, that means that I can do anything I want. It doesn't matter. No, that isn't what it meant. That isn't true. What it means is that God has a gift and he's given it to us and we don't have to work for it. And just as we heard in Romans chapter 8 this morning, that we don't have to work to maintain what God has given us. Have you ever had an experience where someone gives you a gift? And it's ugly. You know what I'm saying? One of those things. And you say, well, I'll say, well, why don't we just, re-gift it? Everyone knows re-gifting, okay? Yeah. And my wife said, oh, no, we can't do that. It was a gift. Well, wait a minute. If it was a gift, then all the strings have been cut. Amen? Come on, you understand what a gift is? A gift, there are no strings attached. Come on, I'm all for re-gifting. Re-gift. Just don't re-gift when it comes to me. But my point is that a gift is a gift. When God gives gifts, he doesn't hold any strings. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, a person who is in legalism or legalistic thinks that, well, the only way I can maintain this gift is if I do this and I do that and I do that and or I don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. You need to separate the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the gift of being able to understand His Word, the gift of His illumination in our lives. It's separate from living a life of righteousness or holiness in a manner where I am motivated by love for God rather than fear of loss.
Hallelujah.
God loves you. The natural response to that is that we love God. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily that, you know, Jackie, you expressed a passion and a love and there's an emotional component to that. But at the same time, we need to realize that love is a decision. Because when there are times when your situation may be unlovable, and yet we need to persist, we need to press in. It's like in any relationship. In a relationship, aren't there times when, you know, whether it's a family relationship or a husband-wife relationship or two people who really care and love one. Listen, aren't there hard times? And when those hard times come, what matters is not necessarily the emotion, but the commitment to love. You see, it's commitment that holds love. If you think of it the other way, love determines commitment. You're in big trouble. Because you're going to fall in love, you're going to fall out of love, you're going to go into one relationship, into another. You know, looking for love in all the wrong places. Old country western song, right? Right. God loves you. But here's now where I want to get very serious, just for a couple of minutes. There's a difference between discipline and legalism. God has called us to a life of discipline. In John chapter 5, verse 14, let me just give you a little background, and then we'll look at that verse. This is the man that was crippled at the pool of Bethesda. Remember that story? You know, and the tradition was that an angel of the Lord would come down and trouble the waters, would stir up the waters. And the tradition was that the first one in the water would get healed. But there's this man there, and Jesus somehow is drawn to him, and Jesus says to him, "Do you want to be healed?" And he says, "Oh yes, Lord, I want to be healed, but I don't have anyone who can, because I'm crippled. I don't have anyone who can bring me and put me in the water." And long story short, Jesus does a miracle and says to the man, you know, stand up and walk, pick up your bed and walk. And he gets up and he walks. And he, you know, he was in that condition for a very long time. And yet God heals him. But listen, this is what I want you to look at. Verse 5:14. He says, sin no more or worse will come upon you. Isn't that what it says? Sin no more lest a worse thing come upon you. Now, take that in contrast to Jesus healing a blind man in John chapter 9. And remember that the disciples that are with Jesus says, well, look at this blind guy. You know, who sinned? Did he sin? Did his family sin? And Jesus says, this is not an issue of sin. But this is an issue that will bring glory to God. And so what we need to understand is that God, you know, God doesn't just ignore sin. There's stuff that's going to have negative consequences on your life. God has dealt with the issue of sin. You don't have to sin anymore. You see, before you know Jesus, you didn't know any better. You were just doing your thing. You were like a lemming. You know what a lemming is one of those little rodent kind animals, you know, and the story is that, you know, they one starts running, two will follow, then three, then 10, then 100, then 1,000. And the story is that, you know, that the lemming will, it's not entirely true, but it makes a nice story. But, you know, that if the lemming, you know, the lead lemming runs off the cliff into the ocean, what do all the other lemmings do? And that's what happens to people in this, in the culture, in this society, when the lemming is Kim Kardashian or Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner. Now, I don't even want to go there.
The Pied Piper.
Oh, there's a good example. You know, a good example of a story. But God says there's a consequence to sin. There's a consequence to sin. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. But I'm not perfect. And so therefore, I have to be in a place where when I mess up, when I goof up, sin. I need to repent. And 1 John 9 says that 1:9 says that if we confess our sins to him, that he is faithful and just to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. But there's a consequence. And the consequence is that you hurt yourself. You hurt your family. There are people who are totally innocent, but yet they're suffering great pain because of a family member. You separate yourself from God through sin. Where was the first sin? In the Garden of Eden. What did Adam and Eve do immediately? They hid themselves. And that is a natural consequence of sin. So please don't think that we're a church that makes light of sin. Sin is sin. Sin can cause great pain and suffering. But you have the Holy Spirit in your life. You are able. Remember last week we mentioned the scriptures that Jesus said, I'm going to send the helper to you, the paraclete, the helper. Why did he need to send the helper? Because we need help. We need help to live the life. And so there's got to be an attitude that I'm going to discipline myself to not do certain things that I've done in the past. Amen. Or to do things that I knew I should have done, which I haven't done in the past. And when you are going through that initial stage of change and transformation, it feels like, you know, all these rules. Listen, you want a breakthrough or not? No, there's a scripture in 2 Timothy that I want to just close with. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote this to Timothy, who was his spiritual son and a minister as well. And he says this. He says in verse 6, beginning in verse 6. Make that verse 3. You therefore, he's talking to Timothy. Say, wait a minute, he's talking to me. He's talking to you. He's talking to us. That's the nature of the Word of God. It says, you therefore, my sons, my daughters, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God has already provided. He's provided your salvation. He's provided the Holy Spirit to live in you. And he's provided the Holy Spirit in you, not so that you could just have a tickly, bubbly feeling, but so that you would be empowered to change. To become a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, those that are in Christ are new creations. The old has passed away. All things have become new. But then he goes on to say, he says, You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others as well. Here we go, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That one sentence is just filled with all kinds of meaning. A soldier is one who obeys. A soldier is one who receives orders from on high and commits to complete it. A soldier is one who is willing to lay down his life for the furtherance of the mission. And then in verse 4 it says, and no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You see, you're soldiers in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
No, don't back away now.
Amen.
You know, it gets a little bit hard. You know, don't say, oh, well, wait, I didn't sign on for that. Yes, you did. You know, you want the prize? You know, you've got to, I think I heard someone, maybe it was Jackie who said it herself, you know, that I'm going to finish the race. Yeah, I'm going to finish. Come on, are you going to finish the race? You know, are you just going to start the race? Oh, I ran 10 yards. That's far enough. You know. And then it goes on to say, in verse number 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the what? Rules. There are rules. Here's the rules. Galatians 5:22. We are to live our lives with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, oh, 1 out of 9 ain't bad. No. Listen, these are referred to as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is something that is manifest by the Spirit. This is something that is inherent in the Spirit. Where is the Spirit? In you. Therefore, those capacities are available to you. It's just that for many of us, myself included, we've developed bad habits. We learned the wrong things. We have to undo those things. And when you're undoing those things, it feels like so hard. That's what discipline is. You know, when you say, I'm only going to have one piece of cake. And then they bring out this 7-layer forest cake with whipped cream on top and a cherry and vanilla ice cream on the side. One piece of cake, and you pick up the whole cake, you know, one piece, you know. No, come on, you understand what I'm saying? It's hard. But here's the thing, it's worth it.
Amen.
Nothing's going to change if you don't discipline yourself, if you don't commit to change, if you don't commit to moving in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then finally it says, verse 6, the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. The hard-working farmer. You know what the hard-working farmer does? He prepares the ground. He plants the seed. I may not have the right order, I'm not a farmer, but he fertilizes. He waters. He weeds. And over the process of time, there's a change in the field. It's not just dirt anymore, but now there is a harvest, and that is our lives. It takes time. We heard Jackie say 30 years, 30 plus years. You say, oh, I can't wait 30 years. It doesn't have to take 30 years. Now, I remember an old friend, pastor friend of mine said, you know, he says, he's talking about being a Christian. He says, it's not how long you've been on the road, but it's how far you've traveled on the road that really matters. You know, you can be a Christian for 40 years and not have changed much. You can be a Christian for a year and be dramatically changed because you've decided. You've decided that you're going to finish the race. You've decided that you're going to be a soldier of God, and you can handle discipline. You've decided that sin, listen, here's the line here. You know, I always refer to this line here. Sin is on this side. Righteousness is on this side. Sin, go on, say this with me. Sin is bad. Holiness and righteousness is good. Now, you're saying, well, you're making light of sin. Listen, sin is a killer. Sin is a killer to relationships. And I'll tell you, there's only one thing you're going to take out of this life. And that is, you know, there are no U-Hauls on the hearse. You know, the shroud doesn't have any pockets. There's only one thing you're going to take out of this earth, and that is the impact and the influence you've had on the lives of people that you leave behind. Amen. That's the only thing that's going to matter. And the relationships that you formed that you're going to see again in heaven. Amen. So don't make light of sin. Recognize that it is a relationship killer, a relationship destroyer. It'll make you unhappy and miserable, and it will separate you from God. Now the thing is that maybe I should rephrase this. It will make you feel separated from God. Amen. But God is right there. Amen. And the moment you turn around and say, Lord, I've messed up. I'm working on this. Lord, you got to help me. Lord, you got to give me I like to watch NCIS for some of those. You know, you got to give me that slap in the back of the head. Holy Spirit, just slap me. Make me aware of what I'm doing. Make me aware that it's an old habit that has come into my life. Make me aware that it's the old way of thinking that is causing me to want to do this. Lord, help me renew my mind by that transforming power of your word, meditation, hearing testimonies, hearing your word, and walking with you. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to just help us. We want to be Holy Spirit led. We want to love. We want to experience joy and bring joy. Not just experience joy, but to bring joy to others.
Yes.
To walk in peace. To not be anxious and concerned and every time something happens, I'm expecting a tragedy. Help me to be, patient. Through the trials and situations that come in life. Help me with all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Help me to be good as you are good. Help me to be kind in my everyday interactions with people around me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be gentle. Help me to be self-controlled, disciplined. Disciplined. And so, Lord, just bless each person here. Lord, that the word of the testimony that we heard this morning would be an encouragement. And Lord, the words from your word would be an encouragement and a strength. That you, Jesus, went up and ascended to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. And at that instant, you sent your Holy Spirit down to us on earth to live in us and to be a helper. Help us to call out to the helper in our weakness. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.